Jerry.
Morning, John.
Shh. I want you to try and look large and walk on the other side of me till we get to Chambers.
Large? Why?
There's someone I don't particularly want to see, that's all.
It's not still that client you represented on the indecency.
No, that's been settled. It's that oily git Vernon Ames from the Chambers next door.
Oh, him. I don't know why you let him get to you.
I don't let him get to me. Getting to me is exactly what he doesn't do. Get a bit faster, will you?
You're doing another case against him, I suppose.
You know, Hillary, you really are inclined to jump to conclusions. It's embarrassing. That's a very considerable failing.
John!
It is your fault.
I thought it was you, beetling off.
Hardly beetling, Vernon.
All right, you can move now.
I understand we have a case against one another.
Ah, I thought you said...
Do you? I'd forgotten.
Oh, yes, the landlord and tenant case.
Yes, it's been a while since we were on opposite sides. And you know, I don't think I can recall what happened last time.
No, no, it slipped my mind as well. One does so many cases. Well, bye for now.
No. Wasn't it that boundary dispute? The one where you kept on mispronouncing your client's name?
Yeah, I really don't recall. Come on, Hillary.
No, it was. It was Alfonso Urbino Villaceros de Cantana against Smith. I was for Smith. As it happens, I thought that the judge took against you rather unfairly. It was rather sweet the way you kept calling your man the Spanish bloke.
I don't think... I don't think the judge took against me. You had a far stronger case on the merits.
Did I? I don't remember that. Anyway, I don't suppose His Honour ever wrote that letter about you to the Bar Council?
No. Goodness, no.
I'm glad. I mean, we all have bad cases, and there, but for the grace of God and all that.
Yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Thrower and style.
Oh, so am I.
We should be able to put names to both of those, shouldn't we?
Yes, yes. You're the bloody good one I can put to you. Morning, Vincent.
Morning, sir. Can I do anything for you?
No. Vincent, it's a silly question, and I think generally judges rather like me, but, well, do you think that on the odd occasion I've put a judge off?
Oh, no, sir, no. Well, not as a rule. I mean, you don't always do it. Well, you've just had a lot of bad luck over the last few years.
You name me one instance of when I've upset a judge.
I wouldn't, sir. I mean, I couldn't. Not without thinking about it. There was that possession action you did in front of Judge Lewis.
Judge Lewis? Come on, Vincent, you're going to have to do better than that. Everyone knows about Judge Lewis.
What about him?
Well, he's Welsh.
Sir?
Well, they don't like anyone.
Nothing to worry about then, sir.
Just this case I'm dealing against Vernon Ames.
Oh, Mr. Ames, well, he is very smooth.
He's not smooth, Vince. He's an oil slick that happened to qualify to practice law.
Sir, I didn't mean smooth, sir. I meant more, likeable.
He is not likeable. I can't lose another case against him. I couldn't stand that. I'm by far the better advocate. Don't think anyone would seriously deny that.
Well, people don't like to get into arguments about that sort of thing.
You're in court today, Hillary?
Yes, I've got an injunction hearing over the road this afternoon.
Well, make sure you wrap up warmly.
What?
Make sure you dress nice and warmly. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't interfere. I was probably being a bit mollycoddling. I'm sorry.
It's the hottest June day for 35 years.
Right. Well, don't overdress then. I mean, you know, cotton shirt to keep you cool. God, I'm doing it again. Oh, sorry.
Ruth, I really don't understand this. I mean, I don't understand this from you.
What's that supposed to mean?
The mothering stuff. It's not like you.
Yes, it is. I'm always doing that. Well, you must have noticed a maternal side to me.
Well, not really. Well, a bit. Maybe when you want something. I tend to think of you as a career woman par excellence. What was that book you were reading? Guerrilla Warfare or Compassion? The Politics of Female Choice?
Well, yes. That is part of me. Making my way as a barrister, it had to be part of me. But it's not all of me. I've got this maternal bit as well. In fact, it's probably as big a bit, if not a bit bigger. And it just keeps seeping out, like it did just before.
Oh, right.
All right, Hillary, in answer to your silent question, yes, I'm going to adopt.
What? A baby?
No, a cocaine habit. Of course, a baby.
Really? You? What made you decide you wanted to?
Well, I just decided it would be great for this other bit of me, the very probably bigger bit, to have a baby.
Have you thought it through? I mean, what's going to happen to it when you go bowling?
You know, you really are putting a damper on this.
Sorry, I think there's something wonderful in adopting a baby. I didn't even know they allowed single parents to adopt.
Ah, well, they are a bit strict about that.
In what sense?
In the sense that they don't allow it. Which is actually one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you.
How do you mean?
All you'd have to do is pretend that we're a couple, just so that we can adopt.
What?
It's just for a couple of interviews. Then you fade out of the picture completely. It's a short-term commitment. You become the father, then you leave. Men do it all the time.
This is mad. It won't work.
You know, I knew you'd do this. You're turning this into something personal.
Ruth, you're asking me to adopt a child with you. That's quite personal.
You don't think I'm capable of being a good mother. That's it, isn't it?
No, I didn't say that. I think once you got into it, you'd make a good mum.
Who's emotionally inhibited? That's your fear, isn't it? That I've been hardened by making a career in this all-male adversarial world and I won't be able to bond with my baby.
No.
Well, I put it to you that I haven't been hardened and that I'd make a wonderful mother.
Look, Ruth, I don't want to deny you the chance of becoming a mum. Don't you see, I just can't help you with this. I'm sorry.
Oh, Hilary, please. Double please. With bells on.
No. I will think about it, but no. Almost definitely no.
John Pulicott?
John, it's Vernon.
Vernon, what can I do for you?
Look, I'm probably being very stupid, and I wondered if perhaps you could just put me right. I've just received your skeleton argument on the law in the Throw and Stiles case, and I'm sure it's just me, but I can't work out what your case is.
Hmm. The basis is clear. I mean, it should be clear. We say there was a breach of the covenant of quiet enjoyment.
Ah, right. I see. I thought that was it, and then I thought, no, it couldn't possibly be. But it is, I see.
Well, there's nothing wrong with alleging breach of covenant, is there?
No, not at all. You must do what you believe to be correct, absolutely. Good.
Right.
Oh, by the way, my clerks just told me we're in front of Her Honor, Judge Rowe.
A female judge?
Yes. You've been in front of a woman judge before, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I mean, they're just like male judges, but a bit more masculine, really.
Well, as they say in America, I'll see you in court, counselor.
Yes, as they also say, suck on this, dolt brain.
Yes, Mr. Ames.
Yes, Your Honor. May I take you to page 3 of my skeleton argument, the second paragraph on that page, which Your Honor will find about a third of the way down.
Yes, I have it. Thank you.
Can I take you to the second line of that paragraph? Now, the third word of that second line, which Your Honor will find about an inch and a half to the left of the left-hand margin.
Yes, that's helpful.
The third letter of that word, some two letters from the beginning, should, in fact, be an A.
Uh-huh.
I hope that clarifies matters.
Indeed. And may I say how helpful this skeleton is, Mr. Ames? I particularly like the layout and the font. It's very clear.
Your Honour is most generous.
Mr. Pulicott, I don't seem to have your skeleton. Did you email it to the court?
In what sense, Your Honour?
Via your modem.
I'm getting a little closer, but still not quite with you.
Do you have a skeleton argument?
Oh, indeed. May I pass it up? I made a carbon copy for my learned friend a while ago.
Oh, handwritten.
Indeed. Yeah, there are just a couple of things I'd like to correct. Can I take your honour to the middle of page 2, just below the blue ink patch that looks a little like a turtle's nose?
By the long squiggly thing?
A little to your honour's right, just before the two dots and the line that looks like one of those smiley faces.
Yes, I think so.
Actually, that's a semicolon.
What? That thing next to the thing that looks like a stick man?
Yes. Could you cross that out? That really shouldn't be there. I got a bit bored.
What?
How's the trial going, sir?
Oh, brilliantly. Ames and the judge couldn't be more cosy if he was doing the case from inside her robes. He's done his skeleton argument on the computer.
Did he? Well, that just shows he's been thorough. You've got to warm to that.
Why? The bloke's got a computer. That doesn't make him a good barrister.
Well, they're very geared up in his chambers. I've talked to you about IT. You were concerned about the expense.
No, Vince, it wasn't just that. It was also the question of cost.
But that,
I don't know what it is, Vince. Everything I try, he's got some smooth answer for. He's got a reading out of his hand.
Did you say her, sir?
Yes, Her Honour, Judge Rose.
Well, there's your answer, then. A lady judge.
How have you been with her?
What do you mean, have I been with her? I've been like I normally am, courteous, professional.
Well, that's it. That's where you're going wrong, then.
Vince, are you on some sort of medication?
Female judges don't want a dry professional. They're like a little flirtation in a case. Spices things up for them.
Don't be stupid. She's there to adjudicate, not to be made love to.
Well, what's your opponent doing if he's not flirting?
Well, he's... Do you think that's what he's doing?
Of course it is. There are two types of lies you tell judges. With the men, you ignore the dementia and tell them how intelligent they are. With the women, you ignore the face and tell them how attractive they are.
Did I
play up to her? Of course you should. The bigger the play, the more they love it. I've seen it 1,000 times, just part of the game.
Well, I'm a bit rusty on all that. Joy is not a terribly romantic woman. I mean, being in the territorials, you take a night in the tank over... Jay Gerard every time. But as it happens, I did used to cut something of a rakish figure at college, sort of Oscar Wildean, but without the love that dare not bit.
Well, there you go. Draw on that.
Yes, yes, why not? And let's face it, Ames is no oil painting. I mean, plenty of oil, but not a lot of aesthetic.
You want to win it, then?
Yes. Maybe a spot of sophisticated judicial amour is called for. Tell me, do we have any mouthwash in chambers?
Hilary, brilliant. You found your way here, all right.
Ruth, I'm sorry. This has been tearing me apart. I just can't go through with this.
But you said all right.
I said I'd think about it, and I have. And pretending we're married isn't going to work.
It will.
It won't.
It will. See, we're arguing like a married couple already. Hilary, let me show you the nursery. Look at the things I've got her.
A snooker table.
It's quarter sized. I didn't just want to get girls' things.
Right, I see. Don't you think you're being a bit premature?
I don't know. I just see these things in the shop and I just can't stop myself. Oh, please, Hill, just help me with this and I'll never ask you anything again, I promise.
I just think they're bound to find out. We'll slip up somewhere. The interviews are really rigorous.
That's why I've prepared this dossier. Details are relationship, our marriage, I've covered everything. Just look at it, please.
I proposed to you in a tree at the Newbury Bypass demo.
Yes. I was really pleased with that. That shows that we care about the environment and we're both got a good sense of balance.
Not very romantic, though. It's not really me.
What does that matter?
You put that I love the way your nose wrinkles up when you laugh and how you flick your hair away from your forehead when you're concentrating.
Yes. Yes, I got that from an old boyfriend, except the bit about the nose. That's from a book.
Well, I just think it would be more real to say that I love you for your gurgling laugh as it splashes and breaks on the air like liquid crystal tripping along a mountain stream.
Yeah, fine. Now, she's bound to ask
you. You haven't put down anything that you like about me.
Haven't I? Oh, well, don't worry. I won't bring it up. And if it does come up, I'll think of something.
No, I think you should think of something now.
Hilary, it's not important.
No, I want you to think of something.
Hilary! Okay, God, your knees. I love your knees.
How can you love my knees? You've hardly ever seen them. What do you love about them?
Hilary!
Well, you don't really love them at all, do you? I don't think this is going to work.
No, it is. I do. I love the way they, the way the patella stands proud of the femur. It's really cute.
When did you first notice them? Was it that time I came into chambers wearing my cycling shorts?
Yes, yes.
God, getting all embarrassed now. It's stupid, isn't it? I wasn't even going to wear those shorts that day, but it was so hot.
That's her.
Look, Ruth, whatever happens, it was really nice what you just said, you know, about my knee.
Mrs. Stone, how are you? You found it all right?
Yes, thank you.
It's nice to see you. Are you well? Good to put a face to the voice.
Well, I'm fine, thank you, Mrs. Quirk. Ah, this must be Mr. Quirk.
It's Mr. Tripping, actually. I kept my maiden name when we got married.
We both did.
Come on, darling, let's show Mrs. Stone into the living room. Would you like a cup of tea, Mrs. Stone?
Well, you don't by any chance have peppermint tea, do you?
Do we?
No, we haven't got any.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, no, it isn't. And I'm really sorry. And I hope it doesn't spoil everything.
Oh, no, it's fine. I'll just have a normal cuppa.
Thank you for being so understanding.
I'll go and get it.
Ruth, I just wanted to say that I know how difficult these interviews can be. And I want you to know that this isn't a test. It isn't a competition.
No, I know it's not a test. I think that to look at it in that way would be emotionally immature in itself.
It isn't any kind of test, Hilary. I was just saying that to your wife.
To who?
To me.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is simply throw a few questions, a few scenarios at you. Just take your time, think about them, and respond as prospective parents.
Fine.
Yes, fine.
Okay. Right, you wake up in the middle of the night and the baby's crying. She's not hot or feverish, but she is unhappy. What would you do?
I'd talk to her.
Good. Carry on.
Well, I'd say, what's all this then, madam? And? Well, if that didn't work, I'd immediately ring a healthcare professional at consultant level or above and demand to be seen.
Right. Hilary?
Well, if there were no obvious signs of illness, I'd probably just cuddle her up close and jiggle her around a bit and sing some silly song and try to get her gurgling. Maybe take her to the window and make funny noises. Sometimes they like to look at the streetlights.
Okay, whatever.
Right, well, let's try something else. How do you think the arrival of the baby is going to affect you emotionally?
Well, that's a difficult one. Obviously, there would be a lot more work to do around the house.
You're worried about the extra housework?
I think what Ruth's trying to say, what we both feel, is that until you felt the intense, selfless love for an infant and the profound emotions it rips from you, you can't truly say that you've experienced the gamut of human emotions.
Yeah, right. Look, I'm not going to fire a load more questions at you today. I'd like to arrange to see you both with a baby.
Does that mean that we've got the second interview?
Well, if you want to look at it that way, I suppose.
Oh, she's brilliant! I mean, brilliant in a measured way. Good, is really what I mean.
Well, shall we stay the same time next week, but at my office?
Let's stay that time. Bye.
Court rise. Mr. Fullercar.
May it please you, Your Honour. May it please you quite a lot, actually. Might I begin the case for the plaintiff?
Yes, would you care to briefly outline the facts?
I'll outline the facts, but perhaps not too briefly. Surely, Your Honour, there's something to be said for letting the facts come out slowly and linger a while before, well, thrusting into the evidence.
I was simply suggesting that you try to keep it short.
Well, I'll try, Your Honour, but there is perhaps a limit as to just how short I'm going to be able to keep it.
Very well, but I am anxious to get going.
Yes, I share Your Honour's fulsome appetite. However, I believe it may prove a little more, shall we say, liberating to remove the outer vestments of this dispute and tease out the real issues before jumping on top of the claim and giving it a good scene to.
I really must object, Your Honour.
What's the matter, Vernon? You got a headache?
Mr. Fullercar, I want you to control yourself.
Oh, don't worry, Your Honour. If I feel I'm going to lose control, I focus really hard on the Landlord and Tenant Act 1977. And that way I can go on for hours.
I am adjourning for the afternoon. I think we could all do with a glass of water. Mr. Fullercar, I want to see you in my chambers before court tomorrow morning.
How'd it go, sir?
Yes, I think it went well. Well, it went quite well. A little out of practice to start with.
Did you catch a little twinkle in her eye?
Yes, I think there was. Well, it sort of glistened. Well, she went red at one point.
Oh, very good. Blushing.
Yes, she did blush. Oh, Vince, who am I kidding? I'm no good at all this. She didn't like it, Vince. She was furious. She summoned me to her chambers tomorrow morning.
Come in.
Ah, good morning, Your Honour. Your Honour, could I just say that wholly unwittingly, I may yesterday have used, quite unconsciously, language which, though entirely innocent, may have given, unwittingly and innocently, an impression which belied its wholly and entirely innocent and unwitting nature.
Mr. Fullercar, do you have any idea what it's like being a judge?
It is a colossal, and if I may say so, a selfless act of public service. A quintessential element of the social contract.
It's unbelievably boring.
Is it? Sending people to prison must be quite good.
You spend your life listening to the same petty disputes, the same unimaginative arguments.
Yes, well, I can explain yesterday.
Social isolation for a young, middle-aged woman. I don't know why I ever put myself forward for preferment. You sit up there apart from everyone. More often than not, a figure of derision. You've got no friends. At lunchtime, the only people you can talk to are a couple of brain-dead old buffers trying to work out the mysteries of how to use the cruet and gasping for the judicial pension.
Well, apart from all that, it must be terribly enjoyable.
You gaze down from the bench pretending to listen, watching the usher picking his nose for the umpteenth time, praying for something to happen to relieve the boredom, but not believing for a moment that it ever will.
Well, yes, awful, yes. Well, anyway, I'm glad we've had this little chat, and as I said, sorry about yesterday. So,
John, You said certain things in court yesterday which I couldn't help but take to heart. Can I call you John?
Yes, why not, Your Honour?
No, it's Judith. You see, that's part of the problem. Men see me as a judge, not as a woman. But I think that maybe you find me not entirely unattractive.
Not entirely, no. I mean, under your wig. Your judge's wig, that is. I don't mean that you wear a wig normally to cover up thinning hair. I mean, I don't know, it's quite rare in women, but I wouldn't have thought you had that problem, baldness. Not that it can't be attractively concealed if you do have it.
John, I am enormously attracted to you.
Are you?
Tell me that it's possible.
Well,
is it totally unprofessional to say that I could look very favourably on your submissions if you were to look favourably on mine?
No. No, it's not unprofessional. It's unconventional. That's what it is, unconventional. But in a quite professional way, actually. In fact, it isn't even that unconventional.
I would love to be able to toast your victory in this case in a setting where neither of us need be robed.
Really? Well, that's jolly friendly. Good-o. See you in court, then.
It's really good of you to be here, Hilary.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have missed it.
Oh, I thought the second interview went really well.
Yes, it went well.
Anyone could have got that thing with the nappy wrong. I was just trying to keep its shoulders warm.
No. And you did. Warm and moist. What did Mrs. Stone say about posting the letter?
Well, when I spoke to her in the morning, she said that they were posting it yesterday. And apparently they put it directly into the first-class bag at the post office, not the other one that sometimes spills over. Well, that's what she was going on about when we spoke about 4:15. So she'll be here any minute.
It's funny. All this has really made me think about what it must be like to have a child.
Yes, they're great, aren't they?
Yes, they're wonderful. I mean, what's a few sleepless nights? What's 100 sleepless nights?
Exactly. Not that you'd get 100 sleepless nights. I mean, you might get a few spread out over a year or so.
My little cousin was terrible. His parents, Paul and Paula, didn't sleep for 2 years.
Well, people say that, don't they? They don't mean that they literally didn't sleep for 2 years. I mean, people have to carry on with their jobs.
Oh, no, they didn't. Well, you should have seen the state of them. Too knackered, too awful to look at, and too poor. That's what Paula says.
Well, to me, Hilary, she just sounds like a woman who can't cope with children.
Maybe. You know what they say about paediatricians. Actually, she always says she didn't mind about the sleep loss. It was the way kids passed bugs and illnesses to and from you that they found wearing. A cold lasting 6 months.
A cold cannot last 6 months.
Well, no, I suppose not. But it's not the same cold, is it? I mean, you give it to them and then they give it back to you in a stronger form, and so it goes on.
What if you've got a big case?
Well, you can't do it, I suppose.
No. I think you've been really brilliant about all this, Hilary. Have I told you that? I think you've been a really good friend.
Oh.
I mean, you can come round any time at all to see her, and not just for an hour or half an hour, for much longer periods.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to interfere, not in the early days.
Well, it's up to you, obviously. It's there. The letter. Well, go on then.
Go on what?
Open it.
It's your letter.
No, you're the father.
I'm not opening it.
Oh, thanks, Hilary. Thanks a bunch. I thought you were going to see this
through. All right. I'll open it.
What does it say?
Ruth, I'm really sorry. They've turned you down.
Oh, no. Damn. Oh, damn them. Well, these things happen.
I'm sorry. Sir, you left one of your case authorities in chambers.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
You all right, sir?
Yes, I'm fine. In fact, I'm gorgeous, apparently.
Sorry, sir?
Well, it's her, Judge Rose. That's what she thinks.
No.
It is. She thinks I'm attractive.
You're joking.
No.
She never does. Not seriously.
Seriously.
But I don't understand.
She's insatiable. Turns out she's not content with banging her own gavel. Apparently, she wants to bang mine as well.
No.
Yes. This is a judge who wants me to sit on the bench, but not as we know it.
Well, that's great, sir. I mean, you'll win the case.
Yes, but well, I'll have to... And I'm married. I never thought of marriage as a big thing, more of an inconvenience, really, like diabetes.
I never think it's unfaithful if the other party never gets to know about it.
Vince, I don't think I can do it.
John!
What's he want?
John, could I have a word?
Well, actually, I am...
It's about closing speeches. I'm probably way off the mark, but I thought you'd probably be departing from your prepared skeleton argument.
Why should I be departing from it?
No, absolutely. It's your call. No, assuming that you feel it still holds any water, I wouldn't want to seek to fetter the way you choose to conduct your case. Not at all.
Right, well, I'm sticking to it.
Really? Well, I think that's jolly brave of you. See you in court.
What are you going to do, sir?
You know, Vince, in a dim light with her wig at an angle, Judge Rose isn't a bad-looking woman.
In conclusion, I submit that the evidence fully supports my client's case, and I wait quite intrigued to hear what my learned friend has to say again me.
Thank you, Mr. Ames. Mr. Fuller Carp, what do you have to say on the matter of the breach of the lease?
Your Honour, yes. This is a case in which I suspect that I don't have to say a great deal in order to win. This has been a case about quiet enjoyment. about what people can do quietly to enjoy themselves, so to speak. And there's nothing wrong with that if it's in private and no one else knows about it. But it isn't that simple, because though a person might be very attractive and indeed gorgeous, I submit that, well, he still has obligations. And though tempted to breach them, there are certain things he won't do on a first case. Even though he was tempted, and it would have been nice, and thanks, but he can't.
Well done, Johnny.
I must say, Banner, I really thought you'd win. You had a far stronger case, all those authorities and statutes.
Nah, none of them were relevant. I was just pulling the wool. Though what your closing speech was about, I couldn't possibly say.
Mr. Fuller Carp, can I have a word?
Yeah, then, would you excuse me for a moment? Let's do lunch soon and chat over things, practice recent cases.
John, this is terribly embarrassing for me. Well, there's no easy way to say this, but I'm sorry. Everything you said in court was justified. I just don't know what came over me. Loneliness, probably. It was a fit of midlife menopausal madness.
Well, I suppose that sometimes one just has to be principled about these things.
I just don't know why I acted like I did. I mean, what possible basis?
Well, I'm sure there was a certain attraction. I've been told my face has a good deal of character in it.
Really? I just can't believe that I tried to influence the outcome of a case on the basis of some stupid, misplaced, bizarre whim.
Well, these things happen. Luckily, I possess a certain degree of resolution.
I mean, me. A first cousin of the Lord Chief Justice.
Yes, yes.
I mean, sister-in-law to the Lord Chancellor himself.
Is that so?
My good Lord. You know, when I think about it, I'm related to half of the Court of Appeal for a start.
Your Honour, have I ever told you that in the daylight, I mean outside court, you have the most beautiful eyes?
You can listen to Chambers, starring John Byrd, James Speed, Sarah Lancashire and Jonathan King, with Jeremy Clyde, Joanna Munro and Tracy Ann Oberman. Chambers is written by Clive Coleman and produced by Paul Schlesinger.